eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
You love him tonight?
Oh, holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Is that yours? Good to be here. Good to see everybody here.
Amen.
Middle of the week. Need a little jump start. Need a little recharge. And a little bit of movement upwards. Thank you, Brother Donnie. We've all had to pitch in and do things, and just good to know that we got brothers and sisters we can depend on to do all the things that we're doing. So God bless you. Good to be here again, like we said. By way of announcement, let me get these out of the way. Now I'm gonna name these, and if you can't come, that's okay. I kind of got all the guys except for the older ones, like Brother Colin, Brother Darty, so and Brother Ray Gabriel. But any of you other ones, Michael, Brother Tim Martinez, Brother Ryan, Brother Gary Krantz, Mark, me, Terrence, and I hope we can add to this list. They went to get tested today, so we're going to pray that test. This is the only time I like negative. Brother Dale's a positive preacher. He's a positive brother, but I want him to be negative. And Mom, both of them to be negative. Amen. All right. Brother T, Brother Josh, Brother Joe, Brother Josiah, Brother Anderson, Brother Richard, Brother Donnie, Brother Anthony, tell them to come, the new brother that we baptized. Brother Tony and Sister Esther, thank you, Sister Esther, for being among all this crowd of guys and holding the banner, holding the banner up for all the sisters that can't be here. So I hope that they don't look at you a little different when they all get to come back, like you did something they didn't get to do. But, I say again, we need the worship part. I mean, it's okay to sing a cappella, and it's okay to have this one here and that, but it's much better with a piano. Isn't it, song leaders? Much better with a piano player. Yeah, that's what I thought. So, okay. So anyway, Brother John Durrett, Little John, sounds like we're doing the Cartwright family. Little John, Brother Bob, Brother Zach. If I didn't call your name, come on anyway. But those are the ones. Remember, all like I said, Mom and Dad went to have their test today, so we're going to pray that it's negative. Remember, all the people, we're not the only ones. Everybody's getting attacked with it. Brother Donnie and all the different ones, they've completely shut their church down. And at least we can come and do this and put the word out because people still need to hear. We still need to, we're sheep. We need our shepherd. Amen. And we need a word, which is the food, the grass that we get to eat out in the field. The field's out there. And so for any of you that are at home, please try to listen somewhere, somehow. Get something until we can pray that this thing be over with. We never question God. Job, in all of his, we've not one person in this room come close to what he went through. Not one person. And I said not even close to what he went through. And he never blamed somebody else. He just went through it and he come out on the other side. And you know what? That's why God brought his attention to the devil. Because he knew that Job would be an everlasting example. For even now, 4,000 years ago, Job lived, or longer. Okay? It's one of the oldest books of the Bible that was written. Here's Job, and we're still talking about him and marveling that he can stand up in the midst of boils all over his body, his wife turning against him, all of his children dead. Millionaire in this age, he would be. And he had to sit on an ash heap and listen to three of his friends complain about why he was the way he was. He was some kind of secret sinner or some kind of, Job, hadn't you really done something? Have you really not cleaned your closet out lately, you know? But thank God for Elihu. That fourth man in the fire, when Elihu came, he said, Job, stand right where you're at. Be quiet and listen to what I got to say. And we know who that is. That was Christ through that gentleman talking to him. Said he was a young man and he spoke to Job. I just got finished reading the book of Job and it's really, you ought to go back and read it again with us going through the things that we've went through, here. And, we lost a pretty good friend, close to us from Gainesville that June used to keep his kids. He passed away today. He's younger than me, with, COVID-19. It was Tony Hamilton. He knew, he went to school with, Debbie at North Hall. So he, a Christian man as far as nominal Christian goes and a very good singer. So he passed away today from this nasty virus. So, God bless you. We still don't think we know God's got a hedge around us. God's only going to allow things to happen. I'm still bringing this quote again from Shalom where Brother Branham says, when you've done all you can do, just keep on waiting. When you've done all you can do to stand, then stand. Just stand. How can I keep going on? Stand. How am I going to do it? Stand. Because listen, if we can't believe in God in this hour, who in the world are we going to believe in? Doctors don't know. They got all kind of this and they got all kind of this. It's like a ping pong ball, this thing is. And nobody's got any answer, direct answer of what to do. But we know one, there's a bomb in Gilead. And that bomb, something in that bomb, that when you apply it, you get better. So thank God for that we can look at that bomb in Gilead. You don't have to go to Walmart and get it. And you don't have to go to no pharmacy to get it. The only prescription you have is the gospel. All right, this is all you got right here. And I think since we're coming down to the end time, you know, I think this thing's narrowing down. All the things we thought we couldn't do without, we can do without. So I think God's preparing us and showing us that this, like Brother Dale said, this may not be this is definitely not the squeeze. Come on, people, good grief. I was still driving and went, going to eat, out and eat and no. Brother Brown said physically bereft. That's a little bit different. Sitting in line at drive through at McDonald's for 15 minutes is not physically bereft. That's just real slow service. Okay. Had to do that today. So I just reminded everybody of that. But when we look at these things, but I want to warn you, Brother Dale's got I want him here Sunday because he says he's got a good sermon to give for all this that's going on. So we pray that he's had plenty of time to study. We may have to get out of the way. He may part the water and take us to the promised land. But there is something for us to look at, but please don't try to we're canning stuff and we're putting stuff up. Because the food chain may go out. You never know. But there's a guy that he's a friend of ours. And I think from listening to him, and I don't want you to get caught up in this, he's trying to figure out if he don't make the rapture, he's going to make it through that tribulation period. No. No. I don't put any hope on making it through the tribulation period. I'm getting out of here. That my, and I don't even have a hope. You have an assurity. When you have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have an assurity that you will not go through the tribulation. What a great thing. I don't have a backup or a second plan or maybe if I put enough gold up or maybe if I, you know, grow enough asparagus or whatever, you know, just saying that. If you like asparagus, that's fine. I hate it. But it reminds me of the asparagus on VeggieTales, so I just can't eat anything. Hardly I see on VeggieTales. So it's like you're eating Bob and all them people. So, but anyway, little John knows what I'm talking about, don't you? Because you grew up on that stuff, didn't you? So did my kids. But just don't try to, like Brother Brown said, if you knew God was coming tomorrow. Now listen how profound this is. If you knew God was coming tomorrow, he said, and you were planting potatoes, he said, go ahead and plant those potatoes. Now, to me, that's profound. If you knew. So what's he telling us to do? Be diligent. Press. Even up to the door of the moment. Christians will be diligent. Christians will not be hide. We might have to physically hide from somebody. Who knows? But I'm not talking about us having to try to get around something. Or get away with something. No. Mm-mm. No, it's going to take everything you got to get us out of here. Everything you got in here to get us out of here. So God bless you. We're going to talk about the feast of the Lord. We're going to review. And then we're going to talk about the three great feasts that all males were required in Israel to attend three of these seven feasts. And they have a significance if we can get to them. So God bless you. Pray for everybody. It's a long list. I start at night and I start with Sister Jill because that's the first thing I feel when I roll over in the bed. I feel that and I start praying for Sister Jill. Then I pray for Mom. Then I pray for Dad, Brother Donnie, Brother Ron Spencer, Brother Ron Peterson. I just keep going down the list and man, it's getting long. So we need to remember these people in our prayers. We still need each other more than anything. Amen. All right. Reach out to somebody. Hey, look, reach out to somebody. If God put somebody on your heart, send them a text. Send them an email. Call them on the phone. Do something if somebody's put on your heart. Just go ahead and make that. Say, hey, how you doing? Maybe going through a rough time, you know. Or maybe not. Maybe just want to say, hey. Brother Chris Long said to tell everybody, hey, I talked to him yesterday. He was calling to see how Mom was. And they're doing okay out there. It's hitting the Indian reservations really bad out there, but it's not hitting them hardly at all. So just remember people like poor brother Darrell Ward. I think it was like 17 days that he was still having it. He was coming out. He was on the 18th day when Brother Chris talked to him, but he said for 17 days, he said, I've sat in my house and been bothered by this thing. 17 days. So God bless you. If you don't have it, pray to God you don't get it. All right, let's go to the book of Exodus 23, and this will be the three times the feast are in the year, and then we're going to review all seven, if that's all right, and then we'll, I think we're going to, just to kind of tweak your interest, we may either go back and do the timeline that we did many years ago about Adam to the future home, and we may do that, or we may, I'm telling Brother Joe, you know, a lot of times our sermon titles, when you put some kind of mysterious something in a sermon title and then it's on YouTube, you get 20 or 30 more hits. So we might speak on the trail of the serpent. Guess how many that might get? But, we know one thing's for sure. Satan's still here. But we know who he is. And we're learning more of his tactics every day. We know what that trail is. We just got to be careful and not get on the same trail he does, like that on God of this evil age, as Brother Bob. That kind of is what struck my mind is there's people literally worshiping Jesus Christ today and worshiping the devil. Not the people out there with the 6-point star or whatever the devil symbol is and all. No, that's not them. They're. God of this evil age is right here. That trail runs right through every church, every person. You just got to remember and realize who he is and what he's up to. And that's what the seals do. It exposes the devil. Because it tells me of redemption. As it tells me of redemption, it exposes the devil. And where does he go? Here stands a lamb, and there goes a white horse rider. That's what I want to see. I want to see the tail end of the devil. You know what that means? He's going away from you. Amen? Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That's the greatest seal there ever was, you know. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. There's not a formula. There's not a add this and that. Nope, just resist him. Just say, no. Not today, devil. Not today. So let's bow our heads and pray before we get started. Dear Lord, thank you for the time that you've given us to be on this earth. For whatever heartache and trial, for whatever tribulation, for whatever happiness, for whatever joy, for what everything, Lord, we've been given. Lord, we stand here today as a 60-year-old man that's been through a long life. Some of it has been sorry. But, Lord, some of it has been filled with joy. Lord, especially that night that you gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Lord, what a joy that's been from now on. Now, the trials and struggles have been real and the same, but we've just been able to handle them, Lord. And I pray each individual will look back on their life and realize where they did come from. Look at that journey that they were on and that they're still in now and how it's going to take us to a future home, Father. We pray that you'd be with us now, take care of the ones that are sick. We pray that all these test results will come back negative. And we pray that the light will shine in the dark place. And Lord, we know it's you, Lord, that's doing all this. You are in complete control. You're just allowing the devil to do things, Lord. But we know you are the one that we turn to, Lord, for everything we need. Father, give us this day our daily bread. Be with us now and take care of us. Bless all the other churches, Lord, that's getting hit by this thing, Lord. There's a purpose behind it. Sometimes we don't know it. But Lord, you gave us resolve and a resilience through your word. It tells us that there's no weapon formed. Nothing can come from wherever we say, China, wherever they say it comes from. There's no weapon that's formed that's going to harm us. And Lord, we realize that now because we know that we are covered by your blood. Lord, be with our pastor. Keep him safe, Lord. Bless the mom, Lord, and take care of each one, each family. Lord, has been touched by any of this. We pray that you just give us strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's what we need. We need strength. So here we are now at the end of the feast. We're coming to the end of the feast. But there was three times a year that all males in Israel were required to come to. All right? Not everybody, but all males. All right? So Exodus 23, verse 14 says, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Now remember here, you're going to see this, it says unleavened bread. Remember, Passover is connected to that. Because I'm going to read you another scripture, and it seems like that it might be a little different, but it's not. Feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month of Bib, or Nisan, first month. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Now there's your key. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of the labor. Now you say, oh no, that's the first fruit. No, it's not feast of the first fruit. That's feast of the harvest. Remember, the feast of first fruit was when the first part came to maturity and the priest waved it. But then there was a harvest in the feast of weeks, or the feast of Pentecost, which was the wheat harvest, because we're going to see here in a minute that'll prove it. It doesn't contradict itself. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is at the end of the year when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year, all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. So it was required that they show up in these three feasts. Everybody that's in this room except Sister Esther would have had to win all three of those feasts. All right. Now, Deuteronomy 16, this one is a little more plain. It says, three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks. Now, what is the feast of weeks? Feast of Pentecost. Remember, 7 weeks. You counted 7 weeks, and then there was a wheat harvest. All right? A feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, or in gathering, when you gathered your crop for the last time. and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. In other words, you're not going to these feasts without bringing something with you. All right? Every man shall give as he is able. Not everybody is the same position in the statue of a perfect man. All right? Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing for the reading of the word. If you will, pull the chart up, please, and we'll kind of go through all the feast again. And that way it'll kind of give you a little bit of refresher course, and then we will be finished here tonight. So we're talking about now the first one was the Feast of Passover. Now remember, we talked about the Feast of Passover. And what was that? It was when the lamb was killed. It was put up for so many days, and then they killed the lamb, and they not only just killed it, they took the blood and they applied it on the doorpost. It was something that they had to do. All right. It was a Passover because the death angel was going to pass that night. And it didn't matter who you were, prophet, priest, or king. If you weren't under that blood of that Passover lamb, you died if you were the firstborn of Israel or the firstborn of Egypt. All right. So that's why we were looking at the implication of that Jesus Christ was the Passover lamb, and he died and shed his blood, and then you and I must accept that blood sacrifice. Amen. Now look, the blood doesn't save you. It's a liquid. But the symbol behind the life that was in that blood, see, the life that was in the animal blood couldn't come back and take away anything. It just died and went on into whatever you want to say, because they have life. They don't have a soul. They have a life. But God accepted that until he came himself to become the supreme sacrifice, that man, that blood cell, when it was broke, in other words, when the life went out of that blood cell, it didn't just evaporate. It had a purpose. It was eternal. The blood wasn't. The blood somewhere dried up and went down into the cracks of the earth and gone. But it's the symbol. It's that life behind it. We know what was behind that life. It was eternal. And that life not only could come in just one back on one person. It started with 120, went to 3,000, and now there's millions all over the world. Some that's already in the sixth dimension that's waiting on us, that are waiting for this thing to finish up. But it had to start somewhere. So it started with a Passover. You know, I was thinking the other day, that's mine and your first month of life also. All that other life you had, if God forgive you of that sin and put it in the sea of God's forgiveness, you didn't have a life back then. And thank God you didn't have a life back then. Because God can't see it. Now the devil might be able to, but that begins your life or your year. That's your first month of existence. Because before then, you didn't exist. Oh yeah, you were a soul and you took care of this thing and you took it out and you dressed it up nice and took it to the bars and looked good for the women and did your thing. That didn't mean nothing. But when you came to that sacrifice, that night you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you accepted that he died and that life came back inside of you. That started your life. Because you're what? The Bible says you're a new creation. A new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold what? All things become what? New. So that's what was happening to the Israelites. They had been in bondage, just like me and you had been in bondage for whatever year you want to declare it. Oh, brother, wait, I never... Oh, please. I heard 25 tapes when I was a kid. That's really... So what? You were still in Egypt. You were still in bondage. Until you come to Calvary, to that Passover, and you said, Lord, you did that for me. Because that's what the Israelites did. In symbolic now, they said, okay, their messenger, which remember the three important things of Passover. God sent them a prophet, give them an angel to guide them, and give them a lamb to die in their place. If they didn't have any of them three, because it took a prophet to tell them what to do. Moses said, look, go put this over the doorpost. Amen? And you couldn't just put it on one. You did exactly what the prophet said. You put it over the doorpost because they were getting ready to separate from Egypt, and so were you. And remember, they never went back. That group of people never went back to Egypt. You should never go back to Egypt during this journey. Their journey, when they left Egypt, they just kept on going. Now, so what? They went 40 years in the wilderness. So are me and you. That's why we're a bunch of hard-headed, I was going to say Americans, but not. We're hard-headed anybody. Amen? Even Christians. So the Passover, a prophet comes on the scene, tells them what to do. An angel is there to guide them and a lamb to cover their sin, because what happened when they started on their journey, what did they need? They needed a day of atonement. They needed every so often to be reminded. These are all reminders of Israel of a natural happening, and these should remind me and you of the things. Here we come to unleavened bread, which is the day after. We see the unleavened bread. What is unleavened bread? It was a 7-day feast. Brother Branham said, type in the church ages to get the leaven out of your life during that time of unleavened bread. And you had to get it out on the first day, and you had to keep it out all the way through. Same way with your new birth. Even, I started to do this, but I'm not. But you can type all these with justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost. So what is unleavened bread? It's getting stuff as the unclean spirit going out, leaving you. Well, you're not born again yet, because you get born again at Pentecost. All right. But you got to realize right here, though, when you come to here, you got to realize that day. That day at Calvary when God died for you, you got to keep remembering that. So that's what's happening all the way over in atonement, but we'll get to that. Unleavened bread was a 7-day feast. It was first of the 7-day feast. And what happened during that time? You were to what? You were to get all the leaven out of your life, get all the leaven out of your house, and eat unleavened bread for 7 days. All right, so now first fruit, and then we come to first fruits. Now remember, first fruits was not a harvest of wheat. It was a harvest of barley. Remember that? It was a harvest of barley. This is the harvest of wheat. This is the harvest of barley. When the first barley heart, when the first ears came to fruition or come to maturity, then you wave that over and they collected up the barley, but it was not the wheat harvest, because Jesus Christ died on Passover, stayed in the grave. What did he do in the day of unleavened bread? He was down in hell telling them people that they had too much leaven. But what did he do? He picked up them that didn't have leaven. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job, picked them up and resurrected on what? Sunday, because the Feast of First Fruits happens the day after the Sabbath. All right, and then Jesus did all three right there, and they fell right in order on three consecutive days. And there was Jesus Christ, the first fruit. But he was a barley harvest. He was what? He was a common man. He was no beauty that we should desire him. Read Isaiah 53. He was barley. Made lower than the angels. Actually made lower than us. Because he took our sin. He took every sin you ever committed. Have you ever thought about that? When he went to Calvary, he didn't just take mine. And I know we always say, no, it was just mine. No, think about it. Peter, James, John, he took every Christian sin, plus the sin of the world, to that day at Calvary for the Passover. Right. And he said, if you'll believe in me, I'll give you eternal life. So he'd give it to everybody that wanted it. It's just that some did not want it. Some people decided to stay in Egypt. That's why you talk to people and you try to tell them and you try to talk to them about the Word of God, and it's like talking to that wall. Why? It's like Brother Brown said, no representation. There's no, in other words, there's nowhere in their life that they're going to accept it. See, now that way God can move on. I wondered why God put a man named Adolf Hitler in this world. He knew he would be that evil. And then to give him, to say, well, I'll give you eternal life if you'll accept me. And he would have given it to Adolf Hitler. But he knew that man, if he'd have let him live 10,000 years. See, that's the omnipotence of God. That's the all-knowing of God. He knows exactly if he tries to give eternal life to these people out here, they'll never in a billion years ever come to the day that they accept it. So therefore, he can let an Adolf Hitler come on the earth and then live out his time, and then whatever happened to him, and he just goes on. What a tragic thing. This man wanted all power. This man wanted to take over the world. Make a supreme race. Get rid of the Jews. He's burning. He's in the fifth dimension right now, sitting waiting for judgment. But he thought he was the king of the world. He tried to be. But you and I own way more than that guy ever on earth. You and I we are recipients of everything that everybody, Brother John, has fought for. Marco Polo, all these different, Napoleon, they tried to conquer the world. If you got Jesus Christ in your life tonight, you have conquered everything. Oh, I want to hear it in the home. Somebody say glory. Because that's what it is. Why do we fight? And it's not bad to have money. It's not bad to try to do better. But when it gets in the way of God, when it gets in the way of God, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Problem with Napoleon is he didn't seek the kingdom of heaven first. Jesus come and he said, I'll give you this kingdom. I'm the king. I don't need subjects down here to fight for me. I'm going to have some of them that's coming on a little bit later. And they're going to be meek and mild, and they're going to be, some of them are going to be fighters like Peter. Some of them you're not going to hear much of. Some of them are going to make a lot of noise. But you know what? When all this is over, I'm going to sit on the throne, and they're going to sit right there with me. It doesn't matter if you're Gates or a Berkshire Hathaway guy and Warren Buffett. They're going to die. And they're going to go. But you and I are not. Here's the... When we look at first fruits, we got the whole field. It's ours. Just take it. And that's what I try to do on Sunday. That's why we declare the resurrection when we come to church on Sunday. We don't just declare the resurrection 2,000 years ago, folks. We declare the resurrection that happens in here. We should have a perpetual feast. Day. Not 24 hour. But the day of the Lord as John was in. Is that all right? So there's the feast of first fruit. The first one to come to maturity. Jesus Christ come out of the grave and he said what? All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. But now what did he say? He said, now you go. Take what I got. I'll be back in a few days. I'll be back in a few weeks. Because see, he come back in 7 weeks. And he didn't come with the people. He came in the people. That's the difference. When we see the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Weeks, we see that we come to a place that they count days. You complete 7 Sabbaths. But remember, it's out of the 7-day cycle or 7-week cycle, because it's 7 sevens is 49, and then the next day. That's right. See, that's where you see, Brother Branham, he picks up that 8th day holy convocation, but then he takes it right back to all the, to the Feast of Pentecost, because you don't get born again under a 7. Right. You get born again in an 8. An 8 puts, when you get born again, you're eternal. Amen. That is your 8, not a 7. We are living in the day of the 7. 7-day cycle or 7-week cycle. But when you come to your day of Pentecost, which is 50, which is 7 sevens is 49. So the first fruit, the Sunday after, you see this happened on a Sunday and this happened on a Sunday. Jesus raised on the 8th day or the 1st day of the week. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right. So the same thing at the day of Pentecost. They were not born again under a 7. They had one more day, which made an 8th day, a holy convocation that we see observed down here at Tabernacles, but it happens strangely at your new birth. And then it's a wheat harvest. Remember that? It's a wheat harvest. You are so important to God, He makes you wheat. Wheat's 3 times more expensive than barley is. Now, I'm saying that's what He's done for us. Now, see, if you put yourself up there, you got a problem. Let God put you up there. Remember what the Bible say? Take the back seat. If God wants you, He'll bring you to the front seat. Amen? So on the day of Pentecost, we see that we just got off of unleavened bread. God said, get that stuff out. Get that stuff that makes you rise up in anger. Amen? But He turns that right around. And on the day of Pentecost, He says, you need to add some back. Because remember, they use leaven all the time. That was another question that was asked. Only on that 7-day period did they have to get rid of the leaven and eat the little cracker, the little matzah. Now after that 7th day, they continued and they had to add leaven. When Jesus was standing there giving out loaves and fishes, He wasn't giving out crackers. He was getting, and one time the Bible says they were barley loaves. And they were loaves, not crackers. So they added leaven back in. They just, at this point in time, God wanted them to say, look, and that's what you do every Sunday. You bring your leaven in. You bring 2 types of leaven. You bring your leaven, which is sin, and your leaven, which is what you're sitting in right now. Because you got to bring those 2 loaves as Christ and the bride, but Christ was in flesh, and now He's going to be in our flesh. I've always said, and I have been through this message since I was a kid, and they always beat on the flesh. Beat on the flesh. Beat on the women. Beat on the flesh. Don't do this. Do that. Do this. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Right? Right? Amen? Some of you didn't grow up through that, but I know we did. And they beat on the flesh and forgot about the soul. Get the soul turned around first. Amen? And then there's nothing wrong with this leaven right here. Nothing wrong with it. Listen, if there was something wrong with it, God would give us something different when we got born again. He wants us to win the battle with this right here. Remember, not the picnic beast? We need the combat beast. And what's it in? It's in your soul working its way out, and you are displaying it with this. So when they baked the 2 loaves, remember it wasn't baked in the temple. Can't do that now. You can't put leaven in a temple. But it was baking in your habitation. It was baking in your house. You baked the 2 loaves and you took them out and handed them to the priest. Now the priest, I don't know whether he didn't know that was Christ and the bride, but it was an offering. But in symbol, it was Christ that had to be in leaven. When He stepped out of that tomb, folks, He was in leaven. He was a loaf. I am the bread of life and I'm not a real thin cracker. I'm the bread that'll sustain you for all eternity. And then they brought those 2 loaves and He said, you know what? I'm going to have a second loaf. Because I'm not complete with just one loaf. I'm going to have another loaf. And you know what I'm going to do? As I walked on the earth in flesh, I'm going to have this bride that's going to walk in flesh on the earth and going to be wrapped up completely in leaven. It's a secret, folks. The secret to this whole thing is God living inside of you, and you look no different. Now, you understand what I mean? We do look different, and we are different. But standing in just an instant, and you look out in the crowd, we all look the same. But when you break us down in individuals and start talking about the Word, or not talking about the Word, or start using the sign language of the world instead of the sign language of the Lord, you know what I mean? So there's your leaven. That's what your leaven is going to display, what's inside of you. Whatever that was added in your habitation, when you cook it, Brother Brown said, you cook it in the oven of affliction. When you cook it, what happened to the three Hebrew children? Who was somebody was preaching on it the other day? Well, it's Southern. They hit that thing. They hit that thing seven times, and it killed the people that took them in there. What it was, that thing was so hot, it burst their flesh before the other three even got there. But what brought out that the three loaves? The fourth loaf in the fire. Amen? The fourth loaf in the fire. He will be right here with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So on the day of Pentecost, there was two loaves brought in, because what happened was Christ left the earth. He took his leaven. He couldn't stand there and say, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. He was in a glorified body. Never could die again. Never could have a problem. Never could have a coronavirus. Amen. Amen? Amen? And you know what he said? He said, now I'm going to come back and get in your loaf. Amen. And I'm going to perfect that. Amen. Oh, what a day of Pentecost. Amen. It ought to be a day every day. It shouldn't just be a day. It should be every day. That God used this loaf.
Yes, sir.
Your loaf.
That's right.
And he's going to rapture your loaf.
Amen. That's right.
And then you're going to see two loaves of bread in the millennium.
Amen.
Christ and his bride standing there in human flesh.
Amen.
Christ in a glorified body. Me and you in a glorified body.
Amen.
Co-equal.
Amen.
That's what he said. I believe that's in Romans.
Right.
He said joint heirs, heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So when Christ stepped out of the tomb, guess what? We've got to come to that place. All power. Oh, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. No. When he stepped out of that tomb, he knew that something had changed. His body had to yield to what was inside, where at the beginning, what was inside had to yield to the body. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound real familiar? Because that's what happened before you got born again. But now that you're born again, that thing inside is working on the outside. It gives you a day of Pentecost. Two loaves. I love that. Christ didn't leave us out. Folks, he's not left us out now. God has not gone anywhere. He's more close to us now than he ever has been. Because listen, we do better under persecution. You know why? I've prayed more the past 2 weeks than I've prayed a month.
Amen.
If you hadn't, then pray for me. I just needed a little bit of extra prayer push. Haven't we all? Haven't we all? Because we see situations. Brother Boyd's seeing one now at home there with one. It's all bringing it up.
Yep.
And where do we depend on? Doctor? God. We depend on God. There is no way we can make it without him. So on the day of Pentecost, you know what Peter said? He said, God, he said, this is that. This is that was promised by Joel. He got right into that Old Testament and brought it alive. He said, this is that which was spoken of, that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, all loaves that'll accept him. Because truly, folks, and I'm just going to say this one time. If you're not born again, you're cannon fodder. You have no loaf. You have no purpose. And understand me, I grieve for people out there. Don't you? But if you've accepted God, He's put you in that loaf for a reason. I love what Brother Brown said. He took this one. How many of you go back and look at the history of your life and see how in the world you even got here? I'm talking physically. Physically got here. Yeah, how'd you even make it to Georgia? What's a fine place? You know it is now. But you realize your journey and how this one, Brother Brown said, this one was bred to this one, and this one was bred to this one, and this one bred. And we just happened to pop up one day, and God looked in the oven, and there was a loaf. Well, I think I'll call him Bob. No, He knew you were coming. He was just waiting on the right time. I was reading today in the book of Psalms this morning. David said, in continuation, I was fashioned, and in continuation. In other words, what? This one come in this generation. This one come in this generation. And I was fashioned, Lord. I love that song. I can't remember who sings. I think it's Zach Williams. He says, before my name was ever called on earth, you already wrote it down in heaven. Before your mama and daddy ever called your sweet little name, God already had called it in eternity. If you're a child of His. Amen. He knew your name before your parents even knew it. So who's your real parent? Amen. Listen, we're changed in the image of that. And like I said before, I believe we were changed when you got born again. That changed your soul into that 18-year-old kid that God saw before the foundation of the world. Because Brother Bram said He put it in an album. And he don't have to run over and go, I think. No, he knows exactly who it is. He's just waiting on you to realize it. Waiting on you to come to it. I'm taking too long. But this is, to me, this is good. To me, this is good. When it gets down to where my loaf, you talking about my loaf? Okay. And you know, sometimes God slices that loaf. But you know what He does? You know what you do when you slice a loaf? You hand it out. Amen. That's what He wants you to do with your life. God may slice that loaf and you think, oh, that hurt. But there's a slice of bread that falls off. And you might be able to hand it to somebody. And hand it to this person. And hand it to that person. Lord, cut me. Brother Bram said one time, shear me, Lord. You sheared me one time, you sheared me again. What about a man that prayed for the sick by the millions and he watched his baby die? He said, God pulled a black sheet down in front of my eyes just because he didn't do what God told him to do. But you know what he said? He said, oh, Brother Branham, did you hold on to your religion? He said, nope. He said, my religion held on to me. And that's what it was, that inside of the inside. It says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So Pentecost, complete 7 Sabbaths, 49 days, 50 days, which was the 8th day. And remember, we were talking about circumcision. When does circumcision happen? On the 8th day. And you and I were circumcised on the 8th day of our journey when we received the new birth. All right, so let's go now to trumpets. Because remember, from Pentecost to trumpets, you're looking at, you know, your first 3 months, basically. And then you got about a 3-month... what? Dry spell. You got about a 3-month, you got about a 3-year, you may have even a 30-year dry spell where you don't hear a whole lot from God. But He's trying you to make sure that you know, that you know, that you know. When you've done all you can do, God, I've applied the blood. I've cleaned as much sin as I know of out of my life. Lord, forgive me. You come to the first fruits to where you know that you come to church, you read your Bible, you study, you press play when you want to. not when you have to. And then you come to that day of Pentecost where you know something anchored in. Then guess what? Stand. Just like I said, like Brother Bram said, well, all you done, all you can do, just stand right there. If you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're going to fight and fight and fight, but you know what you're doing? You're standing there. What did Ruth do? You can't give yourself the Holy Ghost. Ruth couldn't do anything. What did Naomi say? She said, you go rest. Even Boaz said, you go rest. It's my time to work. Let God fight our battles for us. Let's don't try to figure something out. Let him try to, let him not try, because he's never lost a battle. He's never went into a battle and lost one. Now we have. And even the devil has. But God's never went into the battle, into a battle that he's lost. So we come down to the Feast of Trumpets, because what's going to happen? And we think that sometimes it is silence in heaven for the space of not even a half hour, like 30 years sometimes, you know. Right?
Sure.
If you've never been through a dry spell, you're fixing to go through one.
That's right.
Because everybody's going to go through that what? Wilderness journey?
Yep. Come on,
guys. Uh-huh. Real dry. Yep. And ain't got nothing to eat. And you think like, you know, you're the only one on the island, and the sand is all you got, and a couple of trees, and that's all. But no, God had his hand on that, on the children of Israel the whole time. Listen, he was so much in the camp. Listen, he was so much in the camp, so much in your camp. Listen, 2 million people got fed every day. And watered. 2 million, not two. He knew that 99% of them wasn't going to make it. He fed them anyway. He clothed them anyway. Same way on our journey, folks. I can see the children of Israel going to these different ones. And they look in these journeys and they, what they do? They murmured and complained all the time. They sinned like 10 times, but as they would get finished sinning, you know, they wanted, well, you know what? This bread ain't enough. We loathe this thing because every day we got to come pick it up. And if we hold any over, oh, it turns into wiggle worms and we can't eat it. But God gave them enough on the sixth day. He gave them a double portion to make it through the next day. He had this thing, Richard. They plan them meals out in them schools, and they ain't nothing to what God done. Nothing. 2 million people a day, plus horses and camels and all whatever else they took. And the water didn't just trickle out. It's like five fire hydrants at one time. Because if you ever seen a cow, T knows about cow. Cow drink 50 gallons of water in a day. Easy. Almost. Because they'll suck it down. What about a camel? And 2 million people. And they didn't have Coca-Colas. And Pop, they didn't have Dr. Peppers. They didn't. They had water. That was sustaining life they had was water. And God, through your journey, folks, what are you saying, Brother Wade? Through our journey, God's going to give you not what you want. He's going to give you what you need. Because remember, they couldn't hold over from one day to the next. Somebody said, well, I'm going to gather a little bit extra because I might have a midnight snack. God said, no, I didn't say that. You're not going to die. Your clothes are even getting new every day. Obviously, they didn't have a weight gain issue like we do. If it did, their clothes just grew with them, Louise. Some kind of nylon, I don't know, but you see what God did every day, just like a bunch of kids. Yeah. What more that he knew they were going to not make it, but he knows you're going to make it.
Amen.
He knows whether you're going to make it or not. And if you're a child of God, you're going to make it.
Amen.
So he's right there giving you everything
right.
You need,
right.
Not everything you want.
Amen.
But then all of a sudden, about 3.5 months later of this long journey drawn out, silent. We've come up now. You know, Dad's been laboring for 50 years. Some of you have been in the message that long, some not. Doesn't matter. It's just a labor. And all of a sudden, you're going to hear a trumpet. And you're not going to hear a trumpet with an uncertain sound because what did Joshua and Caleb? They never got away from their first revelation. Everybody got that? Joshua and Caleb never got away from their first revelation. What about two men in 2 million unbelievers? Think about you got a problem in 300 or 400 people in your department or wherever it is you work, or even 3 or 4. 2 million people. And Joshua and Caleb said, today we're more than able to take this thing.
Amen.
And remember, if you'll remember, the reason that this day right here, the Feast of Weeks, is one of the three is because, remember, that's the day the law was given. 50 days after they left Egypt at Mount Sinai, God gave them the law on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. Amen? So they had something to go by. And they still hated it. We'll do all Brother Dale says. Yeah. We'll do all Moses said. Whatever God says, that's what we'll do. Joshua and Caleb's going, nah, you ain't. Because you can't see what we see. What is Joshua? Type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? And Caleb is the type of me and you. He walked through 40 years of unbelief. And he was like 80 years old when they got to that end. And he said, didn't you give me that mountain 40 years ago? Didn't you give me that mountain? Didn't you give me a birthright to that mountain? You in this church have a birthright to that mountain.
Amen.
And if you can't claim it now like you did 40 years ago, 40 days ago, 40 minutes ago, you're not a Caleb.
Come on.
Caleb waited 40 years. Walked with them unbelievers and they're going, Joshua and Caleb's going, we good. We're all right. Because see, they got a revelation at the beginning of their journey that they were going to the promised land. Because they already got a little glimpse of it. But remember, them other 10 lying preachers is what kept them out. Oh my, you ought to preach a sermon. Oh, I did. So anyway, Feast of Trumpets. We'll get to this. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
What is a trumpet? A trumpet is a message. Amen? A trumpet is a message. The Feast of Trumpets sounds a message. And remember, we read the scripture at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. There's a two-part to even your journey. You get born again under the trump. What's the trump do? You stand out in the crowd, stand out there in the wilderness. Nothing going on. Maybe the birds chirping or the crickets chirping or the frogs chirping or whatever. For frogs are doing whatever they're doing. Frogs don't chirp. I know that. I just know about frog gigging. I can't talk. What's frogs do? Frogs burp. Frogs burp. But anyway, and all of a sudden, beep, what are you going to do? Now, you're not worried about it. You're not worried about, like, when our train goes by at the house. I'm so used to it, I never even look. But we were standing out yesterday talking to a technician from AT&T, and we were standing there talking, and that guy hit that horn about, not at my crossing, the one down there about a half a mile. And he goes, whoop, when he did, I think he almost jumped in the bucket because he wasn't used to that sound. But I was. You know why? Because it was familiar. If the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, see, it scares you. But if it's a sound that you know that's coming and you know that it means something, what does that trumpet mean? In that instance, it means danger. Don't come across this railroad track while I'm blowing this horn. Same way with God. He wakes us up. at the last trump. The trump wakes you up inside. Amen. Right here. To me, the feast of trumpet, or your feast of, your trumpet sounds right here. Because there's a trump that sounds and you say, oh God, that's for me. You're talking to me. You listen, you got to hear something from somebody. I don't care what it is. You can't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost without realizing you're lost. And but realizing you're lost is not just you sitting under a pine tree, half asleep. No, you come to a realization and something goes, that's a sound I hadn't heard. I've heard my hip hop. I've heard my Lionel Richie. John knows who I'm talking about. I know. Come on now. But see that's a familiar sound of the world. But see, that's unfamiliar now. You turn that baby off. Where we used to, Luis was finding the up button. Turn that thing up. Let me hip hop a little bit more. Huh? At the bass. Boom, 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 boom. It's bass, all right. But you heard a gospel trumpet. And I'm being silly, but you did. You heard all these other sounds and noises, and you were acquainted with that. Right? You actually identified with a lot of those trumpet sounds. But when you heard the trump, that trump of God that says, Danny, time for you to turn around. Time for you to listen to what I got to say. Because on the Feast of the Trumpets, what happened? It was coming up to the fall. This is all your summer feast. These feasts are all, like I said before, these feasts were... Now, these feasts went on all year when Jesus was here. There was a lot of times he was in the tabernacle and on the Feast of Tabernacles. But what he was involved in was right here. He died at Calvary. He stayed dead the next day. Yeah, he was dead. His body was dead. His soul wasn't. Yours is not either if you pass away. And then he resurrected. And then he came back in spirit form on the day of Pentecost. Now, what's these other three? These other three have to be done by me and you. Or by something that's going to be at the, not the harvest here, but the last harvest. I was reading a commentary just a few minutes ago. The Feast of Tabernacles was a joyous feast, but it also was a feast where you had to get ready for the planting of the next year. Because you gathered in all your harvest. See, there won't be one of us left. That's why we're under the Feast of Tabernacles. God is going to what? Harvest His bride. And then He's going planting where? To Israel. He's going right over there to open their eyes and plant over there to gather a harvest under the Feast of Tabernacles. All right, everybody okay? So the Feast of Trumpets. Good evening, friends. Boy, that just, you know what's coming afterwards. It's not really that content. A lot of people say, good evening, friend. But when you heard that on the tape, you knew something was coming. Or when you were in service, which we, none of us sitting here, I think it was, maybe Brother Tony. But when you were in service and he said, good evening, friends, you really didn't really know what was going on. But now we know that trumpet makes a certain sound. Because you can hear it, listen, you can hear a gospel trump and it not be the message of the hour. We done explained that. Is everybody okay with that? But you can't hear the last trumpet and not hear the message of the hour. Can't do that. This is the last trumpet. This is the last church age. This was the last church age messenger. And under her messenger, you and I are to be the final voice, the final trumpet to the final age. Amen. So we're getting ready though for our fall feast because like I said before, you've got harvest here, barley, wheat, fruit. You're coming to a fruit harvest. God's not going to harvest your wheat. He's done that. He's got your loaf. He's going to physically take you out of here, but by what? The fruit that you bear.
That's right.
the fruit that you bear. That's what he's going to take out of here. He's not going to take Luis Urrego out of here. No, he's going to take what Luis Urrego has become. Amen. Because of what God has planted. He's going to become that, and that's what God is going to harvest. Listen, we know one thing's for sure. God's not coming back after you. He's coming back after himself. He's coming to get a part of him, just like the Arbor meatpacking guy. He's coming back to get a part of him, or he wouldn't be coming back. He has decided that was his bride. And the bride had decided that's my husband. Amen. And he's coming back to get a part of himself. And I love this part here on the Feast of Trumpets. That there's two special silver trumpets announce that feast, announce the sacrifice. When the trumpet sounds the signal, all the people who were within the sacrifice prostrate themselves, stretch out flat, face down on the ground. Two special silver trumpets. The two witnesses are going to come on the scene. Because what they're going to do is they're going to sound a trumpet. Two witnesses. They're going to sound a trumpet. And what's it going to take them to? The Day of Atonement. Not that Christ is going to have to be killed again. They're going to realize, they're going to mourn. The Day of Atonement is a day that you realize what happened. And you realize that it either happened to you or it's happened somewhere else. Everybody good? This is the first time the Bible tells you to afflict your soul. I say today, afflict your soul. What do you mean, Brother Wade? Make sure you got what you think you got. Make sure you got, make sure that you know, that you know, that you know. Well, Brother Wade, how do I know? Stand right where you're at. Now that don't mean stand right here like this. Okay? That means stand on what you got. Stand right there on what you got. And say, God, I'd be like that man. I say, God, if you don't give me the Holy Ghost, you're going to find a bag of bones right here in this one spot. Have you ever been that desperate? You need to be that desperate somewhere in your life that your life has just went to... I mean, like the children of Israel. They just... That God give them quail. They also paid for it. You know why? Because it wasn't part of God's required plan. His required plan was manna. But they wanted something different. They wanted to interject something else into the program. Now see, that's our problem. But you know what? He'll allow us under permissive will, he'll allow us to do that. But look what it does. About 20-something thousand of them died. Because there were serpents came out. And bit them, and they died. Why? Because it wasn't a part of God's required plan. He said, I am the bread of life. He didn't say, I'm the quail of life. I mean, really, you just let, you do what God said. That's just, and you say, well, that's do's and don'ts. No, it's really not. It's, I don't go home and say, God, go home to Jim. Good Lord, I got to say I love you. No, there's a longing that if I don't see her, I want to see her so bad. Don't you think God wants to see us so bad? He's been so long in these feasts. He's trying to get to Israel, but he's got to take me and you out of the way first. All right, so now also in the Day of Atonement, we see that there's two goats brought in. All right, there's two goats brought in on the Day of Atonement. And what one, it afflicts your soul. Then they take one goat and they kill it, type of Christ being killed for our sin. And then not just being killed that day for our sin. See, because the scapegoat is not, we know Christ died 2,000 years ago at Calvary for all the sins of the world. But that didn't do away with all the sin of the world. Right. People just kept right on sinning. That's but the scapegoat is the one I depend on. That he takes that blood of that dead one and he carries it all the way into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. That's the one I want. Because remember, when you hit your knees and you say, God, I did that. I know I did it, and I know it was wrong. And you know it was wrong. Please forgive me of that. There goes the goat. There goes the goat. You got to see that sin now has been carried away. Even through 2,000 years of heartache and trouble, God had a bride. A sinless, spotless bride. Why? Because he took their sin as far as the east is from the west, or as I say, off into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. The Day of Atonement. On that Day of Atonement, remember too, Israel's eyes will be open. When the two trumpets sound, the two silver trumpets, sounds the message, and then the 144,000, God releases their eyes so they can see. Remember, he's got his hand over their eyes, blinding them, so that you and I can come in. But see, since when you and I come in, he has no reason to blind them anymore. Now he has another purpose. He's got to go get them. Because, they are very important in this plan of redemption. He said, I'll never forget Israel. So he's not going to forget her. Listen, Boaz never forgot Naomi. Never forgot her. When she come to the very end, they actually had a baby and handed it to Naomi. A type of what's going to happen to us. We're going to take this Jesus Christ and we're going to hand it to Israel through two witnesses, and we're going to say, here's your salvation. Your eyes will be opened on the Day of Atonement, and they're going to realize, there in Zechariah, they realize that they had killed Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. So that Day of Atonement, even our Day of Atonement, we must always look back to Calvary. Always look back to Calvary, because what does Calvary do? Calvary gives you the two goats. The one that died right there, and the blood that keeps us covered. Brother Brown said, this world right now is covered with a small finger of blood all the way around. And he said, he don't see your sin. He hears your voice. I say thank you too. Thank you for the atonement. Thank you that we come to a day that we realize that atonement was eternal. The Bible talks about eternal redemption. Somebody read it the other day. Eternal redemption. You know what eternal redemption is? When we get to heaven, Jesus is going to have the scars still in his hand. He's going to have the wound in his side. And he's going to have footprint nails in his feet. And that's going to be our eternal, he's our eternal sacrifice. He's going to let, and you and I are going to walk around in a complete, beautiful, no cuts on us, no blemishes. And he's going to walk around for an eternity just to show. See, we'll come to that Day of Atonement. You need to come to that Day of Atonement every once in a while yourself and do some checking up. Check up a little bit, because you know what? The very next feast is going to be a harvest. The Day of Atonement's one day. When we come to the Feast of Tabernacles, it's a 7-day feast. And you have to go get boughs and you have to do a little bit of work. You got to gather in what? The fruit. But I picked this up the other day. I want you to see in John 1:14. Don't pick it up. Just leave it right there. In John 1:14, remember John said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Then we always like to skip over to 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt. Look that word dwelt up. That word dwelt, John used that word dwelt because it means to dwell in a tent. You say, well, he dwelt among us. No, he dwelt in a tent called Jesus Christ. Now he dwells in your tent called whatever your name is. All right, so this means that the fall feast is complete. It's a 7-day feast, and they rest in booths for 7 days. They sit out there for 7 days in a booth. They make little bitty houses, and they go sit in it. And it reminds them that God gave them tents to live in the wilderness, and protected them for 40 years. Protected them for 40 years. So he protected you for the same amount of time. But now remember what is connected to this. The Feast of Tabernacles, if we are now feasting, Brother Brown said, under the Feast of Tabernacles, we're feasting under a seven. Because it's a 7-day feast. But then remember where Brother Brown picks up, the Bible says on the 8th day is a holy convocation. On the 8th day is when you are born again. It's on the 8th day when you're circumcised. It's on the 8th day when eternity begins. So the Feast of Tabernacles, see, you and I are under the Feast of Tabernacles here, but you and I are not under the Feast of Tabernacles as that is, because you've separated from the world. He's inside of you now, because what does Revelation 3 say? I've been able to sit with my Father on His throne, and you are going to sit with me, not on the throne. The Bible says in the throne. Look how intimate that is. That's intimate. So see, Israel can go out and sit in booths and they can say, oh, God protected us and we're, this is what they're saying now. Oh, we're waiting for the Messiah and we're the chosen people and those Gentiles are dogs. And here we are sitting today knowing that God is in your tabernacle. He owns that loaf of bread. He needs that loaf. Wait, yes, he does. He needs a body. He's the head. I'm just reading scripture. He's the head. We are the body. He has no body on this earth today but our body. And when we give him headship, he is not, it's not just us alone in this tabernacle. We're sitting with him in his throne. Not on the throne, in the throne. The throne room now is not over yonder with the Holy of Holies and all, no. That was done away with by a more pure, the Bible says, and perfect sacrifice. So the Feast of Tabernacles, it lets us realize, to me it lets me realize that I'm still human, but I'm eternal on the inside. I am in a booth. And I am feasting under the Feast of Tabernacles, listening to the message of the hour, listening to these brothers preach, listening to testimonies from people of what God's done in their life, listening to all these things, and it ain't crowded in my house. Right. There ain't three or four of us in there. Right. If he told me, Sister Esther, if he told me, I'm just dumb enough to believe that I can sit with him in his throne. And there's plenty of room. You can be there, and you can be there, and you can be there. But that's the symbol of what that Feast of Tabernacles is. It's a 7-day feast. And then you go to the 8th day holy convocation. Look what happens. When Brother Brown picked that up, I want you to see how far that was. We'll be finished in a few minutes. How far that was. Because if we're feasting under the Feast of Tabernacles, we're feasting still in the 7th church age, right? And that's got to go to the 1 week left for the Jews. That's got to go to the 1,000 years of millennial reign. And you're still in the 7. But you and I, the day we got born again, we stepped into the 8. And all we're waiting on is the Feast of Tabernacles to end. For you. Some have already laid their tabernacle down because they got too old or something happened in their life. I don't know. That's God's providence, not mine. But they're waiting on me and you. Because you know what? They're not in their right to be booth. What is their right to be booth? The flesh they lived in on earth, because that's their possession. That was something Satan had a hold on. He watched it die. Satan went to all the funerals and said, I gotcha. But remember, he can't even get, I don't believe Satan knows where the 6th dimension is. Oh, hallelujah. He can't even touch it. I don't think he knows where it's at.
That's right.
They just disappear, Brother Gary. They just disappear and Satan's going, I had them. I had them here just a second ago. I had them. That's just the way I believe. I don't say Satan ain't got nothing to do with that sixth dimension. God put the believers in that dimension. He put perfect love in that dimension. And Satan ain't got, he can't even scratch the wall.
Right. Amen. Amen. Right.
Can't even peek over in there and see who it is. He just don't know nothing about them people. But you know what's going to happen one day? Where'd you come from? Well, you didn't look that way when you went down that place right there. Your old body's laying down there. It's rotten. Job, it's dust. Paul, Peter, you're dust. Ha. Hey, we're more alive than you ever will be. So you see what's coming. That's what's coming. That's a reality. That when they step back in this dimension, the devil's going to know he's in trouble. Because you know one thing's for sure. Death in your tabernacle is fixing to be destroyed. And we're fixing to just take what Satan has used all them years and bent us over, made us ache where we didn't know we had a didn't know we had a muscle. Took all of our hair away. But when they come back through that dimension, he's going to have to shake his head. Because you know what? He's not the daddy that took your picture. He will not recognize you because he saw you when you were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. But God looks back at that picture before the foundation of the world and he said, that's what you're going to look like. Satan's going to go, shut up. Shut up. You have no hold over me anymore. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Tabernacles. You say, oh, I hate this thing I'm in, this old pest house. Yeah, in the condition that it's in. But you're going to live in what you got for an eternity. But it's going to be brought back young again. And to me, that's the great mystery that Satan can't find. It's where them people are now and what's fixing to happen when they come back across here. Because he's a spiritual guy. He's a spiritual man. Remember, he's the second man to the God in spirituality. Amen? He's the anointed cherub. I made you perfect, God said, until iniquity was found in you. So he's a spiritual man. He's going to feel that. And he's going to go, where'd that come from? And God's just over there going, he don't have to explain to him. Because you know what's going to explain it to him? It's when them dead saints come out of that ground. It's when they walk back in here in a glorified body and then me and you, Brother Brown said, death will crawl up your arm and you'll go. Because you know what that is? That's the devil. That's not God. That's the devil doing that. And you just go, I think that's what we're getting trained for now. I think that's what we're getting. He's give us warfare to train for this. And I just feel that's what we're training for, is that, boy, has death not ever been as close to now? I want to ask all of you, has death never been as close as it is now? Because we're looking at this thing and we know one thing, like Tony Hamilton. He was okay a week ago, dead today. Another person at Josh, Leah at school, gone. Death is so close. But what are we doing about it? We're running off and going, where's God? No. We're going to continue on as we can. We're going to pray for everybody we can. We're going to pray fervently. And we're going to see them come through this. And all in the Feast of Tabernacles. Because the first time this earth sees that feast culminate will be in the future home. When it goes through the seven. And when they step into the eighth day. There's your future home. Brother Brown, when he preached that message, he preached it 1,000 years back this side of when it's going to happen. What a prophet. Amen. Nobody knew much about the future home. Listen, folks, we grew up in the Baptist church where they said heaven and earth will pass away. That's exactly what the Bible says. Right? So boom, and we're going to be on a cloud. You know, even Brother Brown, remember, he said, I'd go, Brother Neville. Hey, Brother Neville. Couldn't shake his hand because you're just not really real, you know. You got your harp up there and you're sitting on a cloud. Now, isn't that what we were all brought up? Then we had a prophet come and say, ah, Brother Branham, you've run out of your types. He said, no, I got one more. He said, on the eighth day, holy convocation. He said, that's past time. That's not the millennium. The millennium is not to us. Our home is the eighth day future home. And it won't be future then. It'll be the present day. The present day place I'm going to live. Not just a temporary dwelling like it was described in there. So now let's go back to Exodus. Just for a minute. If you don't mind, give me just a second. The three feasts. Go all the way to the very end, Brother Joe. Thank you. They do an excellent job back there. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Now remember, all the males have to go. Be just about 4 minutes. All right. Three times thou shalt keep a feast of me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month Abib, which is Nisan. For in that thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labor, which is the feast of weeks, which is Pentecost, which thou hast sown in thy field. And the feast of ingathering, which is what? The feast of tabernacles. Which is at the end of the year when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord. All right, let's read the next one, Deuteronomy. Three times in the year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose. And the feast of unleavened bread, and the feast of weeks, and the feast of tabernacles, they shall not appear before the Lord empty. What have all three got in common? Number one. It's a harvest. Okay? All right, now remember, you say, oh, not unleavened bread. But now remember, your unleavened bread is heading toward the Feast of First Fruits. Feast of Weeks is what? Wheat harvest. And the Feast of Tabernacles, fruit harvest. That's why the people, the boys, couldn't come to the tabernacle, or couldn't come to Israel or Jerusalem empty-handed. They all had to bring something that they planted in their field. And it could be bananas, oranges, wheat during wheat harvest. But you got it out of your field. And you brought it to the Lord as you were able. Some brought virtue. Some brought knowledge. Some brought temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, all the way up to the capstone. Now everybody's not going to bring the same. But it's the fruit of your harvest is what you bring to God. Now, what's the second thing? And we'll be done. What's the second thing that they all three have in common? I'm going to just wait a minute. They are all 7 day feast. Feast of unleavened breads, how long? 7 day. Feast of weeks, 7 times 7. But remember, the Feast of Tabernacles was a 7 day feast, but every one of them has an 8 day involved. Every one of them. You say, oh, no, Feast of Unleavened Bread. Remember, you forgot Passover. What makes this an 8 day feast? Right. Oh, wait a minute, now Feast of Weeks. 7 sevens is 49, the extra day. Right. Makes it an 8. Right. And the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, we know that is an 8 day holy convocation. Right. You all, every time that you brought something, you brought it into eternity. You brought what you brought, your fruit. You were bringing it for a 7-day feast, but you were there for 8 days. Every man, what? Head of the house, the man, the male, nothing to say against the females, but the man's the head of the house. God's a man. All right. So in symbolics, what do we do as Christians? Not three times a year. I hope you come to church more than that. But three times in the year, they were supposed to bring what they had planted in their field, took it in, and brought it, and they would go 7 days, and then they'd go one extra day, proving there was an eternity. Proving that you and I are heading toward an eternity. Oh, yeah, we're already eternal in our soul, but this thing is still in a seven. We got to take the fruit that we harvest, and we got to take it and step into that 8th day. That holy convocation that every male was required every year. And there's many times, and I'll not get into it if you want to look at the history of it. Many times, Jesus came up to many feasts, and a lot of them were one of the three feasts. Because remember, on the Feast of Pentecost, just stand to our feet, and musicians come. On the Feast of Pentecost is where they lost Jesus. Well, that was one of the three feasts that the males had to come to. And where did they find him? They found him 3 days later, but they had to go back where he left him. Pentecost never went back and found him under justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. They never made that 3-day journey back. Brother Brown said, I read the quote to you, Brother Brown said, they lost him at the day of Pentecost. They never stepped in to the 8th day. They stayed in that old 7-day feast. And you know what? That's okay for the Pentecostals of that day, because that was the message. That was the trumpet. That was the trump that sounded. But today, that won't work. Today, speaking in tongues, shouting, that's fine. That's good. That's okay. But you got to go through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost to receive the new birth. That was kind of strange. Those three feasts that were required had a 7-day period, and then they had to step into one more day. That's you and I. We're required to bring what we have, folks. We're required to bring what we have. And bring it what? To the storehouse. And what does that do? That keeps us here for the 8th day. Now you skip a day or two, it's not the 8th day. I said, what do you mean, Brother Wade? Well, you know what? Run it through your head. How many times you study, read the Bible? Like Brother Bob said, you know, what do you put in front of God? Brother Brown said, you can't wait for the doors to open to come to church. And we just don't open them in the morning. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Maybe that's why we have a lot of problems sometimes, is we don't do what God tells us to do. Oh. What fruit are we bringing? Are we bringing it just at one feast and then not bringing it to all of them? Listen, they were required. All males in Israel were required, or they were cut off for the whole year. They were required to come to them 3 feasts. Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and Wednesday. Let's sing a song before we get in trouble. Before we get in trouble.
Time is filled with swift transition. God of earth unmoved can stand.
You believe that?
Oh, build your hopes on things eternal. Well, hold to God's unchanging hand. I'm saying, oh, hold to God's unchanging hand.
Worship Him just for a minute.
Oh, to God's unchanging hand.
Just build your hopes on things eternal.
Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you.
Lord, wherever the prayer cloth goes, we know that, Lord, it will do exactly what it said it would do, Father. Just as simple as that, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If by earthly friends forsaken,
well, still more closely to Him cling. Staying to Him. God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Well, build your hopes on things eternal. Well, hold. Sing it as we're dismissed. And remember, service 10 o'clock. And 1 o'clock on Sunday. Everybody got that? And the ones that we called, please be here. God bless you. You're dismissed.